Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Joy 94.9. Freshly dug Joycast.
Well, the former Deputy Premier of Victoria, John Thwaites, won the hearts of the gay and lesbian community, at least in part because of his willingness to be photographed in public in his Speedos at the drop of a beach towel. But it's fair to say this tactic isn't working for my next guest, with most of the gay and lesbian community being very wary of a possible future Prime Minister who trained to be a Catholic priest and who recently said he feels threatened by homosexuality. Many in the community reacted with shock, feeling that he was more of a threat to us than we are to him. But is he? The Leader of the Opposition, Tony Abbott, joins us on the line now. Good morning, Mr. Abbott.
G'day, Doug. How are you?
I'm really well. Now, a lot of people have called in to me saying, what did Mr. Abbott mean when he said he felt threatened by us?
Well, Doug, look, it was obviously a very poor choice of words.
You can say that again.
it was a poor choice of words. I think blokes of my generation and upbringing do sometimes find these things a bit confronting. Anything that's different can be a bit challenging. But the truth is that as we get older, we mellow. We appreciate that homosexuality is a fact of life. People close to me are gay, and I'd like to think that it hasn't made me love them any the less or treat them differently. So look, it was a poor choice of words, but unfortunately in the rough and tumble of a pretty willing television interview, you sometimes come out with things that if you were considering your words more carefully, you wouldn't say.
Well, it's one of the things that's been brought up again and again by listeners, I'll quote one here from one listener who says, I'd like to know if you're feeling threatened by any other subcultures. Would you have felt free to say the same kind of thing, for example, about Muslims or Jews or blacks or whatever?
Don't forget, Doug, that, I'm a 52-year-old bloke from a fairly traditional background. I imbibed Orthodox Catholic
I think treatment's a good word, Tony.
In my youth, and it takes time to come to a more balanced and nuanced understanding of these things. But look, as I said, I have a number of gay people who are very close to me, and without wanting to pretend that I am perfect or that I will never again be guilty of sensitivity crimes. I do think, Doug, that I am pretty good at taking people as I find them, however surprised I might sometimes be by different aspects of their life.
You see, the problem with using the word threatened is you're quite right. A lot of men of your generation do express a feeling of threat in the presence of homosexuality. The trouble is they tend to act on that feeling of threat with violence.
And
in a sense, what you said could be seen as legitimising reaction.
Absolutely not. I mean, however surprised or even dismayed we might be by things that are things we're familiar with, it is an absolute obligation on all of us to treat people with fairness, with decency, with acceptance, and ultimately, the point that I make is that I do have a number of people who are very close to me who are gay.
This is the old, some of my best friends are gay defence, isn't it?
And it sounds like a terrible cliche. And the last thing I want to do is name them on the program. But
I'll do that for you. I know Tim Wilson quite well.
Yep.
and his partner.
Yep. And look, Michael Kirby has been a friend and at times a bit of a mentor to me. Christopher Pearson has been a very, very close friend of mine for a long, long time now. And then there are others, of course, who would probably prefer not to be named. But sure. the truth is that don't hang me, please, Doug, for an ill-chosen word.
I'm just offering you some rope, Tony.
And don't hang me, please, for the fact that, yes, I am quite a conservative bloke. I do have a traditional background, but it doesn't mean that I'm incapable of appreciating the complexity of modern life and the nuances of people's circumstances.
Well, you know, we do have a problem in the gay community in that we have extremely high rates of suicide and self-harm among our young people because of the expressed homophobia, because they tend to be shunned and cut off from the general community, particularly in regional rural areas, as we've been hearing in the guest who was on before you. I think you'll understand why people reacted the way they did to your remarks, and I accept, as you say, that you made a poor choice of words, but you've mentioned various fairly well-known people that are gay that you know. Have you spent very much time actually with, you know, visiting gay organisations, getting to know the gay community as it is nowadays on the ground?
I think it would be fair to say that I haven't, but certainly in the last couple of weeks I've had quite a lengthy chat to Corey Earlham, who is one of the leading spokesmen for the gay community, and I certainly would intend to maintain a dialogue and without, I suppose, being other than who I am, I would want to take all these concerns seriously and wherever possible address them.
Now, the other thing that makes people perhaps in our community a little bit nervous of you is your religion, your close association in particular with Cardinal Pell, and the kind of things that come out of people like Cardinal Pell and Pope Benedict about gays and lesbians and about the gay and lesbian community. We've been called intrinsically disordered, evil, various other things, and you make no secret of the fact that you take counsel from people like Cardinal Pell in the course of your everyday life.
Yeah. Dave, look, could I make 2 points? The first is that George Pell is a vastly more compassionate man than is normally the stereotype. He is a very pastoral priest, and I can personally say that I have taken issues to him in my own life and had a very compassionate and considered response that isn't just a throw the catechism at it kind of response. Now, sure, as the Archbishop, he's got to reiterate the Catholic teaching, but I don't think anyone should think that they would get anything other than a warm human response from George Pell, the man.
Well, I think, again, we come down to... This is a question someone sent in to me. Thank you very much to Luke, who said what we really need to do here is get to grips with the difference between Tony Abbott, the man, and Tony Abbott, the leader of the Liberal Party, because you are, to some extent, constrained by your own party in what you can do, aren't you?
Well, that's true. Look, the other point, Doug, I should make is that, of course, the traditional teaching of the Church... is often expressed in ways which people find alienating, and I don't like that any more than you do. I think, though, if you read the Gospels as opposed to necessarily read papal encyclicals, you'll find a religion and a Jesus who wants us to have life and have it under the fall. And unfortunately, this sometimes gets translated into dry legalisms, and that's a real pity. But I don't think that the Church is out there to judge and condemn, or it shouldn't be out there to judge and condemn. It should be out there to help and to liberate, and that, I think, is the proper conception of Christianity.
I think you're probably right. As you say, again, we're making another division here between what Christianity is and what the Church is. Mm. And I would have very strong doubts as to whether one could really call the Catholic Church particularly Christian in some of its behaviour. But we won't go down that line.
Sure.
Because I want to come on now to questions of policy and questions of, you know, what you would and wouldn't support in terms of policy to sort of... get rid of the remaining discrimination against the gay and lesbian community. Now, there is a big push on within our community for a federal anti-discrimination law. Where would you stand on that one?
Well, we did in 2008, as a coalition, support the legislation removing discrimination against same-sex couples in federal laws. I mean, we supported that, and the Liberal Party is against all forms of discrimination. That's our general principle. Now,
When you were federal health minister, you didn't include same-sex couples in the Medicare safety net. That was discriminatory.
Well, we didn't change that aspect of the law, but it was pre-existing law. It wasn't new law by us. So while you could say with justice, Doug, that that particular law was not changed by us, it wasn't introduced by us, and if we had been introducing a law in my time, it wouldn't have been in those terms.
Okay, well, we'll let you get away with that one for now. We're talking on Freshly Dug here on Joy 94.9 with the federal opposition leader, Tony Abbott. Tony, I've got a question here from Dr. Jo Harrison, who's a gerontologist based in Adelaide. She says, if you become Australia's Prime Minister, will you introduce policies that recognise GLBTI elders as a special needs group in aged care so that people can live out their final days free from fear and proud to be themselves?
Yeah. Look, Doug, this is a new issue for me, I would probably want to consider how that is best done in practice before being prescriptive. Now, obviously, you don't want to see people who love each other and care for each other and who have been living together for years to be separated in their old age. I mean, obviously, that is a most unfortunate thing. And what I would want to see is a practice that works for people. And before I say yes to any particular mandatory system, I guess I'd want to consider how we get the practice right, how we best get the practice right.
Well, can I make you one suggestion to you and see how this one flies? Mm-hmm. There was recently a press release from the LGBTI National Health Alliance pointing out that all sorts of groups within Australian society, whether it's people with a disability, regional and rural people, young people, seniors, women, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders people, they have a minister in the government, they have an advisory group, they have a departmental unit, there is a national strategy. There is none of that for the lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender community. Would you be up for having an LGBTI minister in your cabinet?
Again, Doug, being a conservative, I'm more in favour of getting the practice right than in creating more process and more bureaucracy. Now, my door would certainly be open to everyone with a reasonable case to make, and I think that is a better way to handle things by and large than establishing a whole lot of formalised structures which can easily just become talk fests. I suppose I would want to be told what the problems are, how they are best fixed, and to try to address that, and then henceforth have an open door to people who are keeping tabs on the situation.
Well, as we said before, one way you could start would be by supporting a federal anti-discrimination law. Would you do that?
Well, as I said, if the law is there, I would be very happy to look at it. The coalition, as I understand it, has supported the introduction of legislation to extend protection against discrimination on the basis of gender identity to the Commonwealth level. I mean, my understanding is that we have supported that. I'm not aware that there is any particular bit of legislation before the Parliament at this time.
But if there was, would you continue with what seems to be your approach to your job as Leader of the Opposition of opposing everything the government does, or would you take a bipartisan approach and come on board with it?
I've always said, Doug, that we'll support good law, we'll oppose bad law, but we'll scrutinise all law. So I guess we'd want to scrutinise it. We'd want to be careful that it didn't have unintended consequences. We'd want to be sure that it would, in practice, work out for the best, because so many well-intentioned laws can have obnoxious consequences. And having done all of that, I'd see no reason why we couldn't support it, but we would need to see it, and we would need to subject it to the kind of quality control that good oppositions should always apply.
But in principle, you're not against the idea?
That's correct. I'm not against it.
So in principle, if it was a good anti-discrimination act on the grounds of sexual orientation, gender diversity, etc., you would support it?
In principle, I would support it.
Thank you.
There we go. That wasn't too hard, was it?
We got there in the end. Yeah, I feel a little bit like a dentist, but...
Well, please apply the anaesthetic.
Now, here comes a contentious one, which I suppose, I think I know what your answer is going to be. We have removed a lot of discrimination against gay and lesbian people in this country. The government brought in these 85 laws. There was general support for that. The big issue nowadays is of course around marriage. Mm-hmm. Now, you have spoken in the past about, you know, you don't see that gay relationships are any less in terms of quality mm-hmm. than marriages, but that they simply can't be marriages. So I guess there's no point in asking you if you would support equal marriage across the country, because I know what the answer is going to be. But would
you've
you
done your research well, Doug.
But would you support a federal Relationships Recognition Act, which covered the whole country, which gave us the equivalent of marriage?
In principle, yes. I'm in favour of stable, enduring relationships. I'm in favour of people keeping their commitments to people. Now, I would be very sympathetic to some institutional arrangement which encouraged that across the board, rather than in just what might be described as the more common or more traditional contexts.
I'm not quite sure I understood what that reply meant, really. But
what it meant is that I would like to see a way for gay relationships to be celebrated, acknowledged. And recognised, but precisely how that is best done, I think needs to be discussed widely, obviously. But the general point you make, Doug, is a correct one. I think that marriage is dare I say it, between a man and a woman, hopefully for life. And there are all sorts of other relationships which should be appreciated and acknowledged and recognised, but I don't know that they can be recognised as marriage.
Well, your good mate Tim Wilson from the Institute of Public Affairs has proposed a solution to this, which he calls competitive marriage, mm-hmm. whereby the government would recognise a certain base sort of standard for a marriage contract, mm-hmm. which it would administer, but religious institutions and so on and so forth would be free to create their own additional conditions on top of that, mm-hmm. and administer those marriages themselves. He calls it competitive marriage. Mm-hmm. Now, that's in line with good liberal free market principles, isn't it?
Look, it is, and while Tim and I have had a couple of brief discussions about this, we haven't had a lengthy sit-down about it. I'm open to these possibilities, but at the same time, I'm also keen to defend traditional marriage as well. Now, I don't see why the two are incompatible, because, as I said, what I would like to see is a society where stable, enduring relationships are encouraged, where people keep their commitments to other people. That's what I'd like to see.
But you don't really know how to go about it at this point, other than marriage.
Well, I know that in other countries there is civil unions legislation. There are domestic partnership. There's domestic partnership legislation and so on, and I'm very happy to look at that, Doug. Although obviously it would have to be widely discussed in the community, and it would have to be discussed within the Liberal Party and within the coalition before it could become our formal policy.
Okay, well, you might have a bit of an uphill struggle with some of the members of your party, I think.
But you'd be willing to take it on.
Yeah, see, Doug, the point I make is that it is a very conservative position to want to encourage stable, enduring relationships. Now, what conservatism needs to do is to apply enduring values to the new reality of our time. Now, in our time, obviously, the way people live is different to the way they might have lived hundreds of years ago, and it's important that we find ways of encouraging those enduring values in the different context of today.
Well, the enduring values are all very well, Tony, but I mean the latest polling that we have on this subject from the Galaxy poll was that 85% support anti-discrimination legislation, 60% support equal marriage rights. Mm-hmm. So one would have to say you might well be on a winner if you went down that line. But before we move on from there, what I want to... Well, we're talking about marriage and relationships and things. I want to talk just briefly about adoption, surrogacy, and gay couples adopting children. What's your position on those issues?
I'd be cautious on this one, Doug. I accept that it happens, but nevertheless...
But you're not enthusiastic by the sides of
this. I'm not, for the simple reason that I think that ideally a child should have a mother and a father. Now... if for whatever reason a mother and a father aren't available, fine. I think it's important that the child has people who love him or her and who are committed and are going to do the right thing by the child.
But which gay couples are perfectly capable of doing.
Right.
Sexuality has nothing to do
absolutely
with parenting ability.
Right. Absolutely right.
And there are many, many straight couples who have children by accident and treat them appallingly.
Exactly right. I completely agree with you. But nevertheless, in principle or ideally, I think it's good that there be a mother and a father involved. But I completely take your point that there are gay couples there's no reason why a gay couple can't provide at just as much love and affection and support for a child as any other couple.
Okay, now a question come in from a listener here. A prominent Conservative, Nick Minchin, has announced he's going to be retiring at the next election, and there's speculation that his place could be taken by Erica Betts. That would be replacing one homophobe with another. Are you likely to go down that route?
Look, I'll leave that to the Liberal Party room, but again, I think it would be unfair to characterise either Nick or Eric as homophobes. I mean, they are...
Well, Erica Betts' record isn't particularly good on that line.
But again, Doug, Eric is a very decent human being, and I would be very surprised if any person has ever been treated differently by Eric on the basis of sexuality.
Well, it just seems to me that you've got a great opportunity there to make a shift in your cabinet to being something more gay-friendly and to, shall we say, let's not be too kind here and say get rid of some of the dinosaurs you've got hanging around.
Yeah, but again, I think that far better than getting rid of the dinosaurs is to try to appreciate that a modern conservatism is a much more embracing doctrine or philosophy or system of values than many people suppose. And one of the reasons why, for argument's sake, Doug, I've embraced a comprehensive national paid parental leave scheme is because I think that a modern conservative philosophy acknowledges that if you're going to be fair dinkum about the family, it can't just be the so-called traditional family where dad's at work and mum's pregnant in the kitchen with the kids.
Well, actually, one of our listeners, Jordan James, just messaged in hearing you talking about that. He said, ask him that seeing as how you are so ready to betray your party's core principles by taxing big business to create your paternity leave scheme, how can we trust you not to betray any of your other promises?
Well, I think that's a pretty aggressive question, and I don't believe that I have betrayed any of the Liberal Party's core principles. If others want to disagree, well, fine. but let's have the discussion rather than just make the accusation.
Well, that's what we're trying to do today, Tony, and I want to thank you very much for joining us today and giving us some of your time. I hope it won't be the last time we talk, and I hope you will be able to take time to meet with some gay community organisations and get to know us as a community, because we always find that when you get to know us as people rather than as clichés, I think you know that we're not the picture that's painted by Mardi Gras and the
sure.
lights.
I take that point, Doug, but again, don't assume that I don't know gay people as people.
Oh, I don't.
People.
I don't from what you've said.
And don't assume that there is this caricature in my mind that is entirely represented by some of the floats on the Mardi Gras. I mean that's not my position. But look, I'm very happy to come on again, and incidentally, I think I am going to a function of one of the local gay and lesbian groups in my electorate in the next few weeks.
Well, that's a good start, Tony. I've just had a message here from our general manager at the station who would like to issue an open invitation for you to visit the studios at any time and meet the volunteers here.
Well, thank you so much, Doug, and hopefully I'll get a chance to take that up on a forthcoming trip to Melbourne.
Touch wood. Okay, well, okay. We've run over time on this, but I think it was worth doing. As I say, thank you very much for your time this morning, and look forward to meeting you sometime in the future.
Okay, Doug.
That was Tony Aberdare, the leader of the Federal Opposition.
Joy 94.9. Freshly dug Joycast.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.